Father, we thank you for speaking to us in many ways, and even through the silence, and maybe not so much through the silence, but through the other things that you spoke to us very clearly and loudly in a time of quiet. God, now I pray that you'll be with the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts, that we could continue to honor you, continue to draw closer to you, continue to give you honor and praise. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. It's quite a prophetic message we heard during quiet time. Did you miss it? It was the future. And little voices, and little hiccups, little coos. It's the future saying, how are you going to love us? How are you going to train us? What kind of example are you going to set for us? You got to be careful during quiet time. You can sleep through it. I'm so very thankful for a church full of young people. I'm so very thankful for young moms and dads who make it a priority to have their children here. We don't want to take that lightly. And so if you see some of those moms and dads and they look a little tired, you give them a little love later on, all right? When I say it's time to hug somebody, you make sure you hug one of them and say you're proud of them. And you're glad their kids are here. And I know a lot of times, most Sundays, we send them downstairs and we miss things like that. Don't miss that part of the story. This is what's going to be referred to, and if we have any pilots here, as a touch and go. It's not really a landing. I'm going to touch down, and then we're going to pop back up, and we're going to go up to the Hockett Auditorium and join with them in the baccalaureate service, and that's a worship service too. We're going to worship with them next week, and we're going to come back and we're going to put a bow on this finally. I thought this was it, but it wasn't. All right, we've been mostly dealing with the story of Scripture, and that very start of this, we talked about that I really like narrative accounts. This really happened. The things we unpacked in Genesis and Exodus and all those other places, and so we looked at what the words of the prophets that they looked at, except for parts of Daniel, everything in the prophecy, that canon, a few hundred to several hundred years before Jesus ever showed up, that was written. And it's amazing what the prophets wanted to see. And so today we're going to kind of conclude, but then in a week or two, we're going to talk about We've been talking about this section of Scripture from Matthew when Jesus told this parable. Then in between the time he explained it, he said, you know, there was all these prophets. Boy, they wanted to see what you've gotten to see, and they didn't get to see it. And there are all these men of old, these great men of faith that wanted to hear what you got to hear, and they didn't get to hear it. So we've been mostly talking about words and hearing, and so in a couple of weeks we're going to talk about seeing in other senses, and how that engages us in the story. And really the main point of this is not only to lay out some very basic theology, and we've done about 8 points in over 7 or 8 weeks. We've had some breaks in there. But we wanted to unpack that this narrative of Scripture intersects us, not just partially, but totally. And if we'll allow it to work through us and in us, it will. We started out in the garden, Adam and Eve, they fell, sin entered, the knowledge of good and evil, and we will surely die, and we join them because we have a problem with sin. Now, I embrace the Wesleyan Arminian holiness tradition. I'm on board with that. But I've been watching the last 8 weeks. None of you have got it right yet. We still need a Savior. And he is Jesus Christ. And Adam knew that he couldn't do it on his own. And the folks that got out there and they were doing big things and they settled on the plains, the flat plains of Kansas or Babel or wherever that was. And they started to build. We can do something on our own. Come, they said. They got full of themselves. Let us build so that we can make a name for ourselves. We can get back to God. If we roll up our sleeves and work hard enough and think hard enough and design hard enough and we can do it on our own, and nope. And we intersected Father Abraham, and we get to sing Father Abraham with our Jewish brothers and sisters. We get to sing Father Abraham because of his seed. And Paul pointed out in Galatians as he unpacked the Old Testament part and the New Testament part, the seed. He said, don't make a mistake. It's not plural, it's singular. It's Jesus. Make no mistake, this Jesus of Christmas, this Jesus of a couple of weeks ago in Easter, is the Savior. He's the one who makes it. The promises that were spoken to Abraham are now ours. We talked a little bit about ended up in life and joining the narrative where we ended up where we don't think we should. When we talked about Moses and the children of Israel, they escape. They're doing what God wants. Moses, after 40 years and 40 years and 40 years and however many of that added up, he got them to where they were supposed to go, and they're leaving, and then they end up with their feet in the water and saying, how did we end up here? We were sure we were following God. He supplied the pillars. You know, the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. We followed him right to here, and how did we get here? And God says, that's okay, I'm this part of the story too. Sometimes we end up where we don't think we're supposed to be, and God says, that's okay, that's part of the narrative. I'm still God. And sometimes we could draw out of that text and that part of the story where we need markers. We need times where we partake in a baptism, or we journal in our journal and say, today is the day when I start to do here. And maybe we invite somebody, and if we're struggling with something, and we put a marker down. We drive a piton in the cliff, and we say, well, I might fall back, but I'm not going to fall back past here, because this far as God has gotten me. My first wife's family had a door in their house. Well, they had lots of doors, but there was a door. And sometimes when Bob, who was the baby by about 10 years, was about this tall on the door, they started drawing a line and writing the date, okay? And then the sisters, who were a little older, Danita and Diane, they started getting marks. And then they didn't get too tall, so their marks stopped. But Bob got to be about 6'5". Well, then we started having grandbabies. So on that door was Clinton and Craig and Krista and Katie and Emily and Allison. And as that door, and I asked when they moved back to Kansas, like, are you taking the door? You should take the door. And by the way, this is something they don't know. If you open the door, and if you open it all the way on the crack of the door, you know, where the door, you know, on the hinge side where it cracked, there's a mark with Todd. I put that there. I wanted to know I was there. I was part of the, in case somebody digs this up, I needed to be there. We need those marks in life. And that's a silly example, but do you have marks on your door? Where this is where God is, as I've joined in his story, this is how he's helped me grow. And then we looked at some great men of faith who saw into the future and probably had no idea what they were seeing for the most part. And the people who heard them had no idea what they were talking about, and still they prophesied. For he bore the sins of many and made intercessions for the transgressors. Isaiah looked into the future and saw. Zechariah said he saw this great priest-king combination, president and pastor. He saw this strange combination of authoritative ruler and yet compassionate minister. He will be clothed in majesty. He will sit and rule on his throne. He will be priest on his throne, and there will be harmony between the two, Zechariah said. And last week we talked about the amazing changing of the covenant, that we get invited in out of the old covenant and the old system into this new covenant. And Jeremiah looked ahead. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. How many of you like the whole story? The whole enchilada. All right? You know, there it is. Oh, I'm hungry. So it says up there, tell the people the full message of the new life. The story. My grandfather, Roger, was a great man. A full-blooded Dane. A hard-working guy. Farmed some of the blackest dirt in the world up there in the middle of Iowa. Just a hard-working, salt of the earth, Roger Peterson. He was a great man and a great example to me. At family reunions, people would come. We had this one weird old, he was just an odd guy from Wisconsin, which if you're from Wisconsin, you understand that. But he'd come and he'd say to my grandpa, Roger, he'd go, now tell me the truth, Rog. Tell me the truth. And I go, my grandpa, I've never heard him lie. I've never heard him even, you know how grandparents will lie about their kids, you know, and their grandkids. And my grandfather was a man of integrity and honesty, and not all of my relatives are like that. But he'd go, tell me the truth, Raj. Tell me the truth. And then I realized what he really meant was, I want more of the story. He wasn't saying grandpa was lying. He goes, I just want the whole truth. I want the whole story. You know, I went to college with a kid here, and when he said, shoot, that ain't nothing, we knew the story was going to get bigger. All right, whatever story you just told, you know, you could say, you know, one time in Kansas, it snowed 12 inches on the end of April. Shoot, that ain't nothing. One time back in Idaho, it snowed 48 inches in July. You're talking to somebody, they come back with their fishing pole and some other stuff in the truck, and they say, there was this huge fish. There was this huge fish. And you know there's more of the story coming. Or you're talking to one of your hunter friends, and they say they were in the stand early, and they'd been watching where it was activity, and all of a sudden this little tree got taller and started to walk, and they realized it wasn't a little tree. It was this massive buck, and for 3 hours they waited for him to get closer so they could get it, and of course they don't, and you're hooked, and you wait, you know, you'll hear the whole story. You want to just go throw him out of the stand and say the whole story. I'm going to tell you really quickly, and then we're going to just unpack this point, and I'm going to let you go home, out to eat, and maybe you'll go to the Mexican place, and maybe you'll go to the cafeteria. It's only open a little bit longer, so choose wisely. One of the favorite things I watched on television in the last several years, sporting events, wasn't a Super Bowl, wasn't a World Series, wasn't a Final Four game. It was the preliminaries, it was the qualifying marathon for the Olympics. It was run in Los Angeles, California, and it was 3 hours of coverage of a marathon. It was riveting. You're going, and they're still running. And they're still running out on the course. They took two laps around LA. It was incredibly, unseasonably hot. And the reason I watched it, I'd never watched anything like that before. I didn't even know they televised entire marathons. Susie Duke, early 30s lady from my church in Grinnell, was in that race. I watched the entire thing waiting to see a glimpse of Susie. I think I did once, maybe, as the leaders went this way. But one of the reasons it was just fascinating television, because they knew we could only watch so much of people going like this. You go. But they had because they knew who the favorites were. You know, they probably had the top, they had backstories. And so for 3 hours, you got backstories and when they were injured and what their parents did. It was good television. You got to hear the story, the full message. And sometimes I think in the race of our lives, in the narrative of our lives, we're pretty busy running. And a lot of times, lean in here close, Haviland friends. A lot of times, all we ever let people see in Haviland, Jeremy's still running. That's all he wants to say. Because we're that way. We're private. It's scary to be vulnerable. It's a little scary to tell them the full story of where the power of the cross, the incredible power that was released of life and influence on Easter, intersected our lives and gave us hope and changed our world and changed our story and maybe even gave it a different ending than it would have had. I sometimes think if there's, sometimes, you know, maybe somebody's not aware. I mean, we know this is the center of the world here in Haviland, but who's somebody who's maybe not aware of what's going on around here and something gets out there that says, Todd's the pastor at Haviland Friends? I did not see that coming. Is this right? You know, they ask their wife, surely I'll call somebody. That can't be. How did this happen? And so sometimes when this life of Christ intersects our lives, there's a surprise ending. And I think we as followers of Christ need to be willing to give them the whole story. And now this doesn't mean you hang out everything on the line, you know, all the dirty laundry, but you invite them in and say, this is where the story of Scripture intersected the story of my life and changed it. And it gave me hope. And I saw things differently than I saw them before. In Acts, so we jump, finally, we've been at this about 8 messages. We jump into the New Testament. And some of you are going, yes, I love the New Testament, but you don't want to miss the beginning. It says, tell the people the full message of this new life. Acts 5:20. That's the NIV from the old 1984 version. Tell the people the full message of this new life. So Where did that happen? How did that happen? Well, remember, the disciples were starting to move. It's in Acts. And this is right after Peter was walking through the crowd, and people had figured out if they could just get their sick friends and have, remember Jesus told the disciples, you're going to do bigger things than I did. You're going to teach in ways I didn't teach. You're going to heal in ways I didn't even heal. And people had figured out if they could just get Peter's shadow to cross these people, people were jumping up and being healed. It's pretty cool. I did not see that coming. You know, some of that, there people were, and so, and guess what happened? The high priest, the Sadducees, they got jealous. They trumped up some charges. Imagine, that's not new. I think it just happened. Not too long before the resurrection, during Passion Week. You might remember that. We talked about that a little bit. Okay, so then they trump up some charges and they end up in jail. And then there's this, it's different than the other one, but an angel shows up. And he opens the door. And he gives them these instructions. You get out there. You get in the temple courts. And you tell them the whole story. Now, if you're one of those folks, and I know a lot of you are, a critical thinker, analyze a lot of stuff, you say, well, does that mean the disciples weren't telling the whole story? No. It doesn't mean that. It was an encourager. You get back in the game and don't hold anything back. The reason people are being healed as you walk by, as your shadow hits them, the reason people's lives are being changed, the reason numbers are being added to the church, and a little bit later in the book of Acts, they multiply. What would happen in Haviland if we multiplied? We'd have to go to two services. Think about it. Look around. We multiplied. This times this doesn't fit. You say, Todd, I don't have that kind of faith. Well, read the story. Read the narrative. But it says they were adding at this point. All right? So they're adding to their numbers. And the angel says, you get out there. You go back out there. And do you know where the religious people hung out? The people that put them in jail? The temple. Where did he say to go? Go to the alleys and on the sly, tell them part of the story, just enough to get them by. No, he said, you get back in the game and tell them the whole story. As I've watched over the years, people get interviewed, you know, your favorite talk show, your favorite late night host. You know, I don't know if anybody will ever do it as good as Johnny Carson or whoever you want to say, Jay Leno or Letterman or Colbert or whoever, Most of the time, those are just really bad interviews. It's not Letterman's fault. It wasn't Leno's fault. It's just the people were so predictable. They'd show a clip and they'd say, well, what it was like to work with Tom Hanks? Good. You know? Or, you know, the lady at halftime who has to interview Bill Self, you know? He's walking off the court. He's already gone, but he knows he has to stop. She says, so you're getting beat out there. What do you think you need to do? You know, there's never, well, you know, so-and-so had a really hard week in class and his girlfriend broke up to him. So we're going to go there in the halftime and we're going to have him call her and try to straighten. No, he says, well, we need to play some better defense and we need to make more of our shots. That's about all you ever get. That is not the whole story. All right. How did it feel? You know, you watch somebody sing on one of the shows late at night, and they sing that the song that won them the Grammy Award, and everybody in the studio, you know, they're all just loving it. It's great. They knock it out of the park, and they sit down, and they go, so what was it like to win the Grammy? What do you think it was like? Everybody loves me. It's awesome. What do you think it was like? You know, some of it's just bad. Some of it's just so predictable. Just once, I'd like somebody to say, you know, it's okay to work with Tom Hanks, but he can be a bit of a pill. And here's why, and they tell this, you know, story you didn't see. I guess I told you all that to say there are people needing to hear your story. There are people that you work with, people that you are related to, people that are in your class, people you are classmates with that need to know that you know this Jesus and that this story has intersected your life. And that same Jesus that gave the early disciples the power to preach and teach like he did, and the power to work miraculous signs and wonders like the world had never seen, got sent back out after they had a setback And I know we don't like to talk about this, but have any of you had a setback lately? Have any of you got a little sideways with the wife?
Well, I never have, but you know, for like another example,
have any of you stepped out of the room after you've lit your child up about something they did wrong and say, you know, I could have done that better? Or maybe for the 7th time or the 20th time, you've looked at something you don't want to look at that you said you'd never look at again, and you're beat up. I'm no angel, but I have the same message that he has. You get back out there. You go and stand in the temple courts and out in front of Origins, in front of the hardware store and the post office, and you tell people the full message of this new life. Another translation. Most Greek scholars say it's just literally all the words of this life. The full message. Were the disciples teaching or in the habit of teaching something less than this? No. But he's saying, boy, if it gets hard, don't change what you're saying. Don't change what you're... So the angel's saying, please, get back in the game. How would that work today? You know, I've thought about that. In 140 characters or less, what would the disciples say? You know, in a post or in a message, what's the gospel? And so today, just very quickly, what's the gospel? What is this full story of good news? I'm going to give you a little hint. We've been covering it for 8 weeks. What's the story? What's the narrative? Well, it begins with bad news. We joined Adam. We joined the party. We have that of Adam in us. Now, Fox talked about the hope of Adamic perfection, but it's a work in progress in me. I am all about progressive holiness because I haven't got the entire thing figured out yet. Do I have hope? Sure. But the gospel begins with bad news. And that sin separated us from holy God. And then it continues in recognizing that there was an atonement acquired. There was a time when we had to get this right. And in the Old Testament, there was unblemished lambs and perfect doves and oil and first grains and all of those things. And then Jesus came. The Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God, and he died on a cross, and he was dead. He wasn't mostly dead, he was dead. He wasn't faking, he wasn't pretending, the disciple, he was dead. And then the power like no other, the life force of God, thundered in such a way that the dead came out of the tombs around that same time and came walking into the holy city. Jesus was alive. The full message is that life force now comes into our life. And not only gives us abundant life here, that's great, but he gives us eternal life. In case you haven't picked up, God is pro-life. All right? He came in and gave us this gift of eternal life, and he gives us life in abundance here. How? The power of the resurrection. In Romans chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, it says, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit is alive because of righteousness. Now, that isn't always our righteousness. I think that's a work in progress. But when God looks at us now, he sees because of Easter, Christ's righteousness. And it's imparted onto us. That's some good theology there in case you missed it. Turn to your neighbor and say, I like that. That's some good theology. So God's righteousness is imparted unto us. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus, do you remember that part of it? A couple weeks ago, Easter? But the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, now what? Dwells in you. He who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the spirit who dwells in you. Haviland Friends Church. Can I encourage you to embrace the full story? Can I, as your pastor, invite you to say, can you buy in to this story? Yeah. Then with the angel in the book of Acts, when he came in there to get God's boys, it's kind of like an old military movie where they come in and they rescue, you know? Only it's an angel this time. And I just got this vision that it's a manly angel for some reason. And he's got muscles and stuff. Not like some of the other artists. It's a manly, godly kind of angel. And he's kind of Rambo and kind of, he's just, you get it back out there. You don't cut the story, you know? That's the worst Rambo you've ever heard. Should have gone with Arnold. Can I get you to say, go out there. I don't care if last week was a great week. I don't care if last night was one of the worst nights of your life. I don't care if this morning was a battle getting here. Get back out there. And by your life and by your words and by your actions and by your love, by your extending people grace, by you being quick to forgive and slow to become anger, and by you watching your tongue, tell people the full story. Let's pray. God, today I thank you that I get to be part of this group of people. That I get to walk beside them, and in truth, probably sometimes several steps behind them on getting anything right. But God, also I'm thankful that they, most of them, know the story where we just run back to the cross and we fall because the ground is level and we come back to you. But then you commission us to go and represent the story, the narrative of Scripture, the full gospel, the full story to a world that needs to hear it, that needs to hear about Jesus Christ, that needs to hear about the empty tomb, that needs to hear about the life force that was released that raised him from the dead. God, help us to be children of Easter this week. Help us to represent Jesus. God, may we go under your authority, under your protection, but now may we go and serve Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I hate to do housekeeping at the end, but don't forget we're closed for business here, but we're open for business just 3 blocks or so north, all right, next week. Please join us in worship up there. Join in celebration of the college graduates. And then your instructions. Hug some people. Smile at some people. Share your story if it's brief or not, but get started on that. Shake some hands. Pat some shoulders. Squeeze some elbows. You're dismissed.